And it's a comparison all the way through. But when Adam rejected it, now the Holy Spirit was not yet available. So Adam started a world because he had children. Now he had Cain and Abel and he had Seth. Now the Bible says he had other sons and daughters, but doesn't name them. And others came and they had sons and daughters. And it came to the time when population was increasing at the time of the flood. They were having a population explosion. God caused them all to be drowned because they were going the wrong way, except Noah and his family, eight people. And all the world has come from those eight people. But they have come on without the Spirit of God, without the direction of the Spirit of God, without the Spirit which would open their minds to understand the teaching of God. Now there was the kingdom of Israel raised up from slaves. And God revealed His law to them. God revealed truth to them. But they didn't understand it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. So they weren't taught it. It can only be understood through the Spirit to open up your mind to understand it. A cow can't understand what a man can because it doesn't have the spirit of man. It's the spirit of man that makes your mind understand materialistic knowledge. I hope you can understand that. But Adam's children now gradually got into a civilization. As they were then, many people began to realize they had to get some kind of organization. So they had men at the head of this and that and the other, but they didn't have right knowledge of how to get along with one another. And the man at the head was always self-centered. And he tried to use those under him for his own good and his own benefit. Where God uses those under him for the benefit of the ones under him. God is a giver, not a getter. But those that are head over other people in this world try to get from them. Now, the rulers over governments and kings over governments in this world, they pretend to be and they pose and represent themselves to be the benefactors of the people. They pose as the servants of the people. Politicians running for office, they're trying to tell the people how they're going to serve the people. Don't kid yourself. They want to get rulership over the people to serve themselves. Anytime a person gets in a good-sized political office, he doesn't have to worry about where his money's coming from the rest of his life. Now, you don't know how it's manipulated and how it's handled, but he finds a way. And he always gets along just fine. Now, a president of the United States, I remember when the president of the United States got $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year. And then I remember when it was raised to $75,000. Frankly, I don't really realize what it has been raised to now. But it's not so great. Many people in large industries, presidents or board chairmen of large industries, get a much bigger salary than the president of the United States. But no president of the United States ever needs to worry what's going to happen to him if he only served for 4 years. Jimmy Carter will never have to worry, and he doesn't have to live off his peanuts. For one thing, they can write their memoirs. And great money's going to come. And there are great many little ways through politics that money keeps coming into them. Ways you don't know anything about. And I don't know either, so I can't tell you. But anyway, a civilization got started. And men began to have his own government. Now, first after the flood, there was a city started by Nimrod. And his wife Semiramis started the religion. And so a religion, different religions came about, other religions came. And then there were different cities, and there were just city-states. No countries, no nations yet for a long time. Finally, we came into ancient nations. There was Egypt. And, there was Greece and Syria and Assyria and other nations like that. And then one king over Babylon got many nations together into a united empire. And the first world empire was the Chaldean Empire called Babylon. And so we came to live in empires. And ever since, we have different nations or empires. Now, empires are just about gone. The British Empire, the sun has set. And it isn't really an empire anymore. It's no longer Great Britain. It's just Britain. But there came governments over the world. There came a system of education devised by man. And man believing in himself and teaching a psychology of believe in your own self, but don't believe in God. Different religions came. A different system of society, or a certain system of society. And it came into what we call civilization, and that's the way people were living when Christ came, and that's the way people are living today, only it's bigger and it's worse today than it was then. Now, the only reason they didn't produce materially and physical things a lot sooner, men could have gone to the moon and back a lot sooner than they did, but they didn't know how to cooperate together. There was always competition. And man didn't know how to get along with man. And so even his material progress was slowed down very greatly and almost stifled. But a human society was built. And human nature came. Now, human nature came from Satan the devil. Maybe I should read from Ephesians 2, verse 2. Well, let me just say the one thing. In Ephesians 2, it says that you were dead in trespasses and sins. And you were, because you're just going to die. And anyone is subject to death in this life. People think they're going to live forever. You're not. This life, we're only here for a short time. I just wonder whether I'm going to live tomorrow. Here next month, I will be 90 years of age. And I have to think about that. Now, I know God can keep me alive. He could keep me alive for another 30 years. He doesn't do that to very many people very often, I know. But He could. But I don't know that He will. But whatever is His will, He will do. And I have to be subject to it. And I am. I mean to be, and I want to be. But here was this world. And we are the same as dead in trespasses and sins. But now, God says, you are alive. In other words, we have life through the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and called His church out of this world. Jesus came to qualify to sit on the throne of the earth, and He did, before He came to preach a word. After He had qualified, He said, the time is fulfilled. Now He had qualified and He could proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the government of God, the family of God that'll rule a different civilization. And He came to call people out of this world and to start that new civilization, the world tomorrow. And that's what the church is. It's a new civilization just begotten. Just started. Now, let me explain right now while it's on my mind what that means. How were you born? I've explained this before. Let me go over it once again. I wanted to refresh your minds right at this point. You were an ovum in your mother's womb. You came out of one of your mother's ovaries. She had two of them. And you came out of one of them. And you were a little tiny ovum of the size of a pinpoint, of the size of a period at the end of a newspaper sentence of just ordinary small type. But there was no life except a maximum of not longer than 28 days, and probably not that long. It's only a temporary existence. But you wouldn't have been born except that a sperm cell from the very body of your father entered into that ovum and imparted life to it. And it took the male to impart life. Otherwise, it would only had a temporary existence. And then you became an embryo. You were an embryo human being, but you weren't a real human being yet. You didn't even have human form or shape, and you were as small as a pinpoint. And after 4 months, you were beginning to take on human shape. There was a sort of a body, and off of that body was sprouting arms and legs. And there was a head. And things like that were beginning to appear. And inside of that body, a heart was forming, and veins and arteries were beginning to form, and blood was beginning to circulate, and the heart was beginning to beat. And you were taking on human form and shape, but you were still very, very tiny, and just beginning to have human shape. And it took 5 more months for you to develop. You weren't born again. You weren't born yet. You were begotten. And after 5 more months, you were ready to come outside of your mother and be born. And now to have your own life. But even now, it was only a temporary life, and you had to grab your first breath. And you yell, "Mwah! Mwah!" I know I've heard that 3 times with 3 of my own children. When they were born, I heard their first breath. I guess it hurts the lungs when they grab that first breath and makes them yell out. And that's the way you were born. Well, now let me tell you, if you receive God's Spirit in the church is merely an ovum with the Holy Spirit of God impregnated. And we are an impregnated ovum. And we are, therefore, an embryo impregnated by the Holy Spirit that comes from the very body of the Father who is God. And this is the divine Father coming into us. And His Spirit, therefore, mingles with our spirit. And the Spirit in us, as we grow up, is the nucleus. And we, the human being, an adult human being, is a fetus. And a fetus that only has a temporary life, and it is not an embryo until the Spirit of God comes. And when the Spirit of God comes in, that is, you might say, the earnestness, not a full down payment on the whole, on eternal life. But you are now begotten to be in the kingdom of God. So the church is an embryo. The church is the kingdom of God, but not yet born. Not yet with divine life, only just the life of the Holy Spirit in us, with ours. And Satan the devil is still getting to us. The Spirit of God now is going to open our mind to understand God's knowledge. And it's as many as are led by the Holy Spirit as God through the Holy Spirit reveals knowledge. God is the teacher. The Holy Spirit opens your mind to understand that teaching. Does the Spirit of God open your mind to understand what I'm teaching you now today? How wonderful it is that we can be begotten into the kingdom of God. We are begotten gods, children of God. Do you realize how great that is, brethren? Or is it of that much consequence to you? That is the most important thing that could possibly happen. And we just take it as if it's, well, everyone's supposed to go to church, and I guess maybe we should have the Holy Spirit, but you don't know whether you've got it or not. Is that the way you look at it? Is it just of no consequence? Or is it the most important thing that ever happened or ever could happen in all the universe to anybody? To be an actual child of God. And scriptures say, behold, now are we the children of God. It just doesn't appear yet what we will be. That doesn't appear yet. It will appear, because then we'll be like Christ, and this vile body will be changed into a spirit body like His when He comes. So I tell you, what is the solution of all of the troubles in the world? The world's in trouble. People say, well, Christ is the solution. What do you mean? Just believing that there is a person like Christ? A great evangelist, well, Billy Graham has said that. Christ is the solution. In other words, you just believe that Christ is and say, I accept Him. Oh, that's not the solution. The solution is that the Spirit of God must come as a result. Through Christ, Christ is the door. But Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Spirit of the Father, or except the Father that sent me draws him. And God is only drawing a few now. Now I want to get to that now. Why is God only drawing a few now? Why is God calling this church? But he's not calling the people in the Methodist or the Baptist or other churches. Now, does that sound like I'm a competitor and I'm talking competitively? Not at all. We're not in any competition with anybody. It just, I'm only stating a fact. And it's just as many of you sitting here as have the Spirit of God and are being led by the Spirit of God that are really in the church, because you're not baptized into the church in water. You say, well, are you a church member? Yes, I was baptized. What do you mean? Well, so-and-so baptized me in water. Well, that didn't put you into the church. Do you think it did? A lot of you have been thinking wrong. That didn't put you into the church. Let me read it to you. Romans, the eighth chapter. The ninth verse. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's not a Christian, and he's not a member of the church. By one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body of the church. By one Spirit, not by water. Water baptism is only something you're commanded to do to show that you're willing to do what God said. But that doesn't put you in the church. So don't ever say, oh, I'm a member of the church because I was baptized, meaning you baptized in water. Not unless you have the Holy Spirit to open your mind to comprehend the teaching of God. And unless you are being led by that teaching, once you hear it, that you follow it. Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You first have to hear it or read it. Then you have to do it. This knowledge alone won't save you, but you have to have the knowledge before you know what to do. But it's the doing that finally saves you, brother. Oh, I hope we can get these things straight. Now then, I'm coming to the most important part of all. Jesus said, I will build my church. But he said also, John 6:44, read it in your Bible there. I've read it so many times. No man can come to me. Now, there's only one door to God, and that's Christ. There's no other way you can get to God but through Christ. And yet he said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. And God is only drawing a few. Why? Why isn't he drawing them all? Well, how did God start the church? Now, let's get to that. Jesus called 12 disciples. Now, they didn't choose him. He was walking along a place, and I know I've walked along that same place many times, but I've been all around the Sea of Galilee, and I think there's only one place that it could be the place where he was walking along, and he saw Peter and his brother Andrew out in a boat with their father. And they were fishermen, you know, like father, like son, and they were two sons of their father. And it was Simon and Andrew, really, because his name wasn't Peter, his name was Simon. And Jesus called them and says, come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're through fishing for that kind of fish. And they came. Apparently the Father didn't. Apparently Jesus didn't even call the Father. But he called those two brothers. And they came. And when Jesus saw Peter, there's another scripture in John that indicates it was the first time he saw him. He said, thou art Peter, or Cephas, I forget which, it means the same thing. And anyway, Peter is merely a surname, and it says that Jesus surnamed Simon Peter. Now, his real name was Simon, the son of Jonah, and Jonah was his father. But Jesus surnamed him, and a surname is a title designating the kind of job or occupation you have. Now, Peter is the title of a leader, and Peter was made to be the human leader in the church of the apostles. And Christ made him the leader. He chose 11 others along with it. But now I want you to notice the Great Commission. Jesus taught those apostles for 3.5 years. Now, they went to school. They didn't sit in a classroom. It was a little different. They didn't follow Plato's system of a building with seats and a teacher with a desk up front. No, he followed his own system. And they went from city to city, and they all went along with him. And they had to walk most of the way. I don't know how they slept. It doesn't say very much about that in the Bible. But Jesus taught them, and they were listening. And now Jesus preached to the people, but as a witness. He didn't call them to be converted. He only called primarily these 12. However, to those he preached, he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God." And it is recorded that on the day of Pentecost, there were a total of 120, including this 12, that had come and were there ready to receive the Holy Spirit when the church was founded on that day. Now, Jesus taught them so they could become teachers. I want you to get this principle. He didn't start a church with a lot of members. He only started a few students that they could become teachers, and that he could start the church around them, and they would be the foundation of the church. And they would be the teachers. Do you get that, brethren? He didn't call members of the church at all. He called students, and they weren't members of the church. They were taught so they could become teachers, and when he started the church, he had teachers already there. And the teachers were the apostles. Now, I don't think you've ever understood that before. Did you get that? All right. He taught them. And when he had finished teaching them, now he had some people taught to become teachers. They had been students, or, you see, if you look up in a dictionary, if I'm sitting at my desk, I reach down in this drawer down here for a dictionary. Of course, this isn't my desk. This is only on the platform here. But in my desk in the office, I'd reach down to my dictionary, and I look up the word disciple. And what do you think I find in the dictionary? It means a student or a learner, one who is learning and who is a student. And the disciples were students, and Jesus was the teacher. Now then, when they were taught and ready to be graduated, and they didn't graduate till they received the Holy Spirit, and that was going to come later, after Christ's crucifixion. But he called them, and I want you to notice now in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, notice the Great Commission. Let's see if you don't see something here you never noticed before. Here's the Great Commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He had qualified. Now he had all power in heaven and earth. And he said, "Therefore, go ye therefore," in view of the fact I have that power, and you represent me, you have that, I'm making you, giving you power of attorney to represent me, and I'm conferring some of that power on you. "Go ye therefore," and what? What is that next word? Can you read it? "Go ye therefore and teach. They were now teachers. They were going to become the teachers, and the ones they teach were going to be the students. But no man was going to come and could be taught spiritual knowledge except the Father drew them. But they, he said to Peter, feed the flock. Go and teach. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name or into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching, there again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He spent 3.5 years teaching them the doctrines, the way of life, how to live. And it's all based on the word love. And it's all based on loving God first of all, and then on loving your fellow man as yourself. But you have to even love your own self, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you need to take care of it. Be sure of the food you poke into it. Be sure of the kind of mental food you poke into your mind. And take care of this body. And most people don't. Most people don't know what they ought to eat. They've never studied to find out. An awful large, a very large percentage of people are way overweight. They eat too much. They abuse their bodies by eating too much. They feed their minds on the wrong kind of food. You don't even love yourself like God intended you to. But it's love to God and your neighbor as yourself. And is a responsibility towards your own self. So that's what he said to do. Now the Holy Spirit was not then given yet to everybody. Back in Joel, Joel 2:28, where Joel the prophet made this prophecy, it shall come to pass afterward. Now actually this has not fully happened yet. Afterward, that I will pour out of my spirit, that's God speaking, God says that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Well, he's not doing that yet. He's only pouring out his spirit on those that God calls. Because Jesus said no man could come except those that are called by God.